All comes down to best in show in the end. This
it
is
all
for
comes down to the best of show in the end.
Cider Days Amateur Competition 2018.
Episode 161. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, on the first week of January 2019, we are looking at a best in show judging, a recording I took just a month ago at the annual Franklin County Cider Days Amateur Competition. You're going to be hearing that recording coming right up, but first, a bit of news out and about in Ciderville.
Happy New Year!
Hello, 2019. You are looking good. Oh, yes, you are. This podcast goes live the day after New Year's in 2019, but I am actually recording it a few days before the New Year's because on New Year's Eve, I like to go out, watch the sunset, just kind of like I do on solstice, crack in a bottle of some Gravenstein Champenois from Santa Cruz Cider Company that I brought back from California, my recent trip there, getting ready to say sayonara to 2018. Of course, you're listening to this in the new year. But for me, I am kind of just shedding off a lot of stuff that happened. So I'm going to just take a moment with you and bend your ear on that because I guess I've just been in that mood lately to kind of bend people's ears. So bear with me on that. Oh, 2018. There were some painful things that happened. Two big losses for me. One, in the beginning of 2018, I lost my magnificent dog, Tucker, a Great Pyrenees and Marimba mix. So anybody out there who knows flock guardians knows that that breed is just fantastic. And I've just been so missing it. In fact, ever since Tuck's been gone, the flying squirrels have descended upon the Ponderosa here, and I've been going kind of crazy with the flying squirrels. I knew that they're around here, and then once you have like that kind of dog, they do disappear. I love the big dogs. I really miss it. I know we'll probably get another flock guardian. I just kind of feel in my bones. Although, before I got that big dog, I wanted a very small dog, but I really miss having a flock guardian who could looks in the sky and notices when sky predators come in, like eagles, which I have around my place, and hawks, and also notices the predators coming in. Because we didn't have the flock guardian, when I returned from my trip to France, to Normandy, France, I actually had gotten the news before I left France that my dear cat, Boy Cat, was missing too, and Boy Cat never came back. So that was like two double whammies for me. Two little angels that appeared on the same week 7 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago as of this December, this past December now. And then they both disappeared in the same year. They were kind of like brothers from different mothers. And so that was a big loss for me. That's kind of been hanging heavy for me all year long. Don't always like to kind of like let that out of the carpet, but it's true. And that sucked. I'll tell you, that really sucked. But with that said, it's very, very hard for me to stay sad in Ciderville hanging out with you every week. I just don't want to go there because it just fills me up. And it's not because I have a glass in my hand of cider either. I'm a little sip here. Clear my palate. No, it's not that at all. It's just that I just feel so much glee. Another thing of 2018 is that I'm officially kind of closing my work doing consulting in the field of conflict management and going full steam ahead into this beautiful land of Ciderville. It is a leap of faith, with the listeners like you to help support this podcast. So thank you to all the patrons, of course. Thank you to all the commercial cider makers, of course, who have helped. People who have been sponsoring and holding this ship most recently really makes a big difference. So here I go. I'm just delving into it. And 2018 was kind of like that shoot of a rocket out into Ciderville for me, where I launched the Totally Cider Tours. And we did two tours last year, the Normandy Cider Tour, Normandy, France, in September, and then in November, the New England Cider Tour. Both were fantastic. In fact, with that said, I've been in touch about both of these tours. They will both be taking place again, the New England and the Normandy, France Cider Tour. I'm just getting the final details worked out in France. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a little bit more sightseeing. I took all the recommendations for people last year who said, let's integrate a little more cheese. We're going to be doing that. It's cool. So I'm going to just hold on to the hat for that right now, because I don't want to fully let it out until I have the exact dates. We're kind of working around the hotels, but it's September. We're going to be eating apples and pears and in the orchard and with some phenomenal makers. So that was big last year to do it, to know like this is cool, people are into it, and it's going to be successful. And then looking now also to 2019, in that same thread, we have the dates April 12th and April 13th for the Totally Cider Tour in Monterey Bay, California. I should be rolling out with that next week for you to start signing up. I already have people sending me emails for that tour, that cider tour in Monterey Bay, California, already sending me emails saying, I want to know. Please keep me posted, because they know a good deal when they see one. It's going to be phenomenal. So hang on to your hat for that. That's just some of the joy that this experience of doing a cider podcast and speaking to you, Ciderville, it's amazing. So I am really looking forward to 2019. You know, you don't know what's ahead in the year. You don't know all the things that come up, what we could look as obstacles, sadness, extreme joy, all the different things that come our way. We have to balance it. And I think cider is kind of a cool thing in that way. Palms in general, they require us to kind of balance and blend and learn that art of really savoring the moment. And if you're a cider maker, commercial, non-commercial, you're looking for that moment, that perfect element when both the single varietal is saying, oh, please add just a wee bit more of that other variety to balance me out, to give me the perfect acidity, a little strength of astringency, maybe a little tannic overtures. That is the finesse. There is so many more metaphors for life that we could find in just a cup of cider. At least I can. Obviously, I spend a lot of time with them. So there you go. But I am looking forward to 2019 and all that it brings. And I wish the same for you as we move forward together on this journey out and about in Ciderville. When I come back, I'm going to have a little bit of news about the upcoming United States Association of Cider Makers annual trade conference called CiderCon. Have you been working really hard in the cider house that you forgot that CiderCon was coming up February 4th through the 8th? I know it happens. Don't feel like, oh man, I'm so missing out, I'm so out of the loop, because there is still time to register. They are saying, though, that the registration for this upcoming CiderCon is way ahead of the historical numbers for registration to date. So that might mean that they might be facing their first ever sold out CiderCon. Can you imagine that? That's going to be wild. That many people. Holy pozole. Which also means that, let's say you've already registered and you are thinking, oh, you know, I'm flying in early. I could do like the Tuesday tours, but I'm going to wait and get my tickets. Well, don't wait. I mean, we are like at the countdown. As this podcast goes live, it's going to be essentially 1 month time before CiderCon takes place. So get your apples in order here. There's two buses touring Chicago, going to really great places that are going to be pairing cider with food. And one bus, it looks like, is already sold out. So don't wait. Register now. Stop. Put it on pause. Go register. Get that going there. I know you will come back to Cider Chat. It's okay. If you go to ciderchat.com, episode 161, you're going to see a link in the show notes to make it really easy for you to start signing up for all these things right now. Or you could go to ciderassociation.org. That works too. Good luck, and I'll see you there. A little bit early in on December, I got a little message from Hal in Nevada, and he wrote, I'm a regular listener to your podcast, even though I probably will never make cider. I love listening to all your guests and stories. So that just goes to show you a lot of different kind of people out there in Ciderville, and I'm just so happy that Hal is, that you're along for this journey, buddy. He writes that I am more into growing fruit. Well, thank goodness, because we need people growing fruit for sure. And he says that he's planning to expand his large home orchard with a section of cider apples. And he's wondering if you could suggest 5 to 10 varieties of less common cider apples. He already has some common ones like Roxbury Russet and Ashmead's Kernel. He figures that maybe myself, or in this case, you, Ciderville, would have some cool ideas. So I'm going to be putting a post on Facebook when this podcast goes live. And if you have any kind of wiki varieties out there, a little bit out of the box, do post them there. If that doesn't work for you, then just send me an email, Rhea, that's spelled R-I-A, at ciderchat.com, and we'll hook Hal up. Because we really want to support orchardists. They are, without orchardists, we wouldn't have any cider. There wouldn't even be such a thing as a cider maker. So I love this query anyways. I'm kind of curious what we might come out with. And I will keep you posted as those apple varieties come in. Franklin County Cider Days has been taking place now for 24 years. This coming 2019 will be the 25th year. And that is a weekend-long event, now going into Friday through Sunday, and it always takes place the first weekend of November. For the past 6 years, there has been an amateur cider competition where folks could drop off their ciders both at Cider Days and at different spots in the region. Imagine now, the actual Cider Days entries are all coming in for Cider Days, the first weekend of November, and then 1 month later, and in this case it was December 1st, the judging of those ciders took place. None of these ciders were commercial ciders. They are all made by folks that one might call an amateur or amateur, or in my case, I call folks cider enthusiasts or non-commercial makers. I was not judging during the Best of Show, and the Best of Show takes place after all the different categories. So In my case, I was judging French and English ciders. We selected like the top ones out of that, and they moved on to the best of show. And then it's a process of elimination. So let's now go to Franklin County Cider Days Amateur Competition Best in Show Judging, December 1st, 2018. There are five judges right now. And what they're going to do is they're going to have 11 glasses in front of them because there's 11 entries. They're going to pour all the cider into each of the 11 glasses and sample it from there. And then eventually go around the table, slowly pulling out the glasses of cider one at a time, which demonstrate whether they should be moving forward or not. And so right now they're going to be pouring in. In a moment, we'll begin with the judging, and I'll bring you into the different voices. But there, again, there's five judges. We have Tom, Ron, Michael, Charlie, and Cullen. All male judges, so that's a trip, in my experience, a particular kind of palate that's tasting and judging. That just shows goes to show us we need more women judges out there.
We do.
So each of the ciders are split up into different categories because it becomes kind of a numerical way to sort through so many different entries. So you have C2, C2E, C2D, C2F, etc.
What's the number?
This is 059.
This is a wild card cider they're putting in. It was put in the fruit category. The judges wanted to move it forward. It has a ginger. Ginger is not a fruit. It should have been placed in the herb and spices. So make note of that if you are wanting to enter a competition or doing trivia. Ginger is not a fruit. It's really a root that is in the ground. Grows in many parts of North America. A lot of folks go ginger hunting and selling that down in Virginia or down in Massachusetts, actually, even where we are. But again, ginger is not a fruit. So the judges, what they're doing right now is they're doing all their final pours. We got one more here. They're trying to find out. There's no label on it, so they're trying to get the descriptors of what it is. Give a little more information here, which is another thing to know when you are entering and judging. You want to kind of balance it between, are you giving too much information because if you're, say something is sparkling in the opening, it's not sparkling, then that's going to actually bring your points down. Or if you're saying something is medium sweet and it's dry, that could also screw you too. So you want to make sure that you are getting good, clear descriptors. And sometimes maybe you don't want to give all the information that you think would be useful. Maybe you want to hold back a little bit. So again, something to think about as you're entering a competition. Now we're going to bring over the final bottle here. Again, there's a total of 11 bottles. While they're waiting for that final bottle to be poured, the judges are already tasting. They lay down a white sheet on the table and made like a grid system so that the number correlates to the glass and what cider is in there right now. And they're starting to taste and make their own notes. And then what is happening here is after they make all their notes, so they'll go over and each of them will go around and then they'll start pulling off ciders off of that grid until there ends up being just one best of show. And it could be anywhere from like the traditional Perry to, who knows, it could be the watermelon jalapeno. You don't know. It's going to be something that's going to pop. When you're looking for a best of show, it really, really pops. It stands out above all the other ciders. Here we go.
The entry 080 C2F. So it's petulant and dry, and it's cider that was pitched with a lambic culture.
So there you go. A lambic would be something that you would see in a Belgium-style beer. But that's kind of unique there. There's a lot of different variations, and for some reason, the judges earlier today thought that that cider should move forward, which I think is pretty super cool that you have such a crazy variation in these competitions. And this could really, we could be sitting right now at a competition for commercial ciders because we do see, at least in our spot of cider bill, in the new world in the U.S. and A, we're seeing these extreme ciders being made with all different kind of variations of fruit and herbs and spices.
So it's not a parrot, it's a cider.
I'm just kidding.
126.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Peachy Blue, I find that harsh and.
And is it to
very
style?
Timid. Huh?
What is, does it say? The style should be harsh and.
No. Yeah. Mm. No.
Should have some. It says it shouldn't have like a burr to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the panel. And we had a hard time finding a really good representation of this style in that panel, but this was the best of them that moved on. And I still feel it's not an exemplar at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
So out she goes.
126 is done.
Yeah, I agree.
So the first cider has left, and this New England style cider has left the island.
Well, it's still got first in its category, you know?
Yes.
They'll still get a prize.
We'll get a blue ribbon.
We'll get a blue ribbon.
Yeah. 489, New World Perry.
84.
84.
I was just thinking about that one.
I just think it has like a kind of weird sulfuric, I don't know if...
There's a marked sourness to it that's... I agree.
It doesn't seem to style because of that, I think.
If someone gave it to me, I would not identify it at all to be pear juice.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
it just doesn't have the personality.
I want to stand up for this one. I think it's great. And it's like, it has like, I do get pear off of it. And I know New World pears are supposed to be pretty simple and gentle, made from table pears. And I kind of prefer it to the other pears, so I don't want to let it go just yet.
Okay.
It's such a subtle fruit and juice, and then the final product is celebrates subtlety. So, I've had the Bartlett pear wine made up at Bartlett Estates in Maine. It just speaks pear in the final product, but doesn't continue in the spectrum to the fermented product here. I don't feel it has any pear character to it.
Yeah.
But it's clean. It's nicely done.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for particular wonderfulness that makes a top three for this table. And yeah, I would agree that it doesn't qualify, but it's certainly worthy of continued conversation.
We have at least three of us that want to pitch it.
I think we should revisit it.
Yeah, but if three of us agree that it should go, then that's it. Otherwise, we'll be here all tomorrow.
Out?
What's that?
Three of us think it's out?
I think it's out.
Out.
Oot.
Out?
Oot.
All right.
Okay, so the second one has left, and that is a New World Perry. I believe it was made with Bartlett. Actually, I judged that earlier today. I thought it was excellent addition of a Bartlett.
Jalapeno.
Yeah.
Had an interesting, subtle jalapeno to it that's hard to do in a cider. I liked it.
I felt the watermelon survived really, really well. And I don't know how this person did it other than maybe concentrate some juice to intensify the flavor. Mm-hmm. Because watermelon juice on its own it just doesn't come across after you ferment it. So I think they did some concentration practice to create this. But what I felt, I taste and perceive, and I hope William's not listening to this, but it's like it's day-old watermelon that's been cut up and it picked up refrigerator flavors. It tastes like it's been oxidized, the watermelon.
I accept that. I also think that it lacks a little bit of cider character, too. It tastes like watermelon juice with a hint of jalapeno in it, which is great, but I'm not getting much cider itself.
Yeah. It's like Jolly Rancher, no apple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I don't dislike it. I think it's an interesting beverage.
Yeah, I think the person...
Well, yeah, I salute the fact that you can get jalapeno and watermelon together without us holding our noses.
Yeah.
No.
I was a little scared. At first, I was afraid... Yeah. And it's a good sight.
I could feel you shaking from here.
But so do you think it should move forward?
Yeah. Or backwards, out.
Yeah.
It's out?
Out.
Out.
Okay. I have an easy one to rid ourselves of, and that's...
Well, we're going to go clockwise.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, okay.
As much as I like this beverage, the C2F, the one with the ginger, it just... There's no apple presence at all. It just massive. But the ginger is presented in so lovely fashion. It's just, I taste ginger beers and the product made nearby Greenfield, but this has fresh ginger character. It's unbelievable, but the apple's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And that has to survive the process.
Yeah.
I like it, but I don't think it's going to be top three.
I find it's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, no, it's
absolutely delicious.
Nicely balanced.
Crisp.
Yeah,
there's a sweetness in it. I think I'm feeling apple. I'm feeling the love of the apple in here, but
there's a little bit of apple. Well, there's honey too.
I'll stick with you, Tom. I mean, I think it's really good, though. It's awfully sweet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cloying, though, at least.
No.
Yeah. It's over the top.
Yep.
I could drink tumblers of this.
So does it go? Do we have three votes? Let it go.
I don't know. I've got the three.
I think we should hold on to it.
Yeah. It's not going to
survive.
Still
three of you. Are you in or out?
I'm not out. I'm not out. I'm not eliminating it.
Okay, so it's going to stay?
So the ginger's staying in for now, right? Because there's not a consensus on that, so we're going to hold it.
Makes our work harder.
So, is it me then? I have to eliminate one? No, why don't you skip over me? I'm undecided right now.
Oh, I've got an easy one for you guys. 57 English. It is harsh, it is hot. I'm sorry, but it does not make me feel the love.
C1B.
Yeah, it should be a smoother, more subtle finish.
Alcoholic and hot.
With the wood and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's, I'm going to stand up for this just based on style, because I think it is tannic. It's supposed to be tannic, and often undergoes malolactic fermentation, so you get all the kind of yucky phenolic flavors, which I hate, but it's appropriate to the style, so I'm not sure that this is really... Mm.
But what's not appropriate is the hot finish that Tom spoke of.
And it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think it seems super English. I drink a lot of English cider. I don't know.
I would probably get rid of it.
Mm.
All right.
How many votes do we have for that? To get rid of it?
Yeah, I think.
All right. Au revoir.
So the English have left the island. It just doesn't seem right, but there you have it. That's how it goes on the best of show.
I think we're getting right there, right?
Yeah. So that was the first go around the table.
Mm-hmm.
Did we eliminate five?
Does anybody have a favorite yet?
Mine was the ginger, but it's proven to be...
the ginger is difficult. I really like it.
It's proven to be...
I also really like the French. It seems to capture what I think a French cider should be.
Mm-hmm. Mine's really the pear you guys hate, so...
Yeah, it's got a nice barnyard.
I think this is wonderful, but...
So the second one, 129, the Petalin French wild fermentation. You guys like that?
I like it.
Is that your favorite?
I like it too.
I think it's one of my favorites.
What do we think of 131?
I agree.
131?
I agree. That's not so. 121. A 131 you want to discuss?
Yeah, the first one.
Let's talk about 131.
I can do without it.
New World Pet.
Yeah. I think of what's remaining, that's probably my least favorite.
I think it's attenuated down to a dryness, and then it's a little astringent and harsh on my...
But is that permissible in style?
Yeah. Maybe.
I think it kind of is, yeah.
It's just like it's sour. It doesn't taste very good, that's all.
Yeah, I don't care for it, but I think it does hit style.
Mm-hmm. Can we at least talk about the traditional pair as to where it stands amongst all the others?
Yeah, sure. Traditional pair, 26?
26,
yep.
26, yep.
It's not sweet. It says it's sweet, however.
Should it be?
Boar said it's supposed to be sweet. I think it's sweet.
Is that a little bit of an acid burn in the finish, too?
There's some sweetness, though.
Yeah.
It's tannic.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not dry. I'm not saying it's dry. It's just not sweet. Say medium.
I don't think it'd be in my top three. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I'd let it hang around if there are advocates for it.
I think it's pretty good. What is that aroma? I mean, it kind of reminds me of like hand soap or something like that. It's like, I don't mean that in the bad way. It's just like a really flowery kind of. It's like a tropical flower or something. What is that?
I get a, like, a little solventy aroma.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I don't know if that's a positive for a peri.
It does produce a lot of compounds that beguile all of us, I think. We didn't talk about the number 80. I'm a little confused about that entry. What?
Which one?
The one that came in last.
We didn't get a good explanation of it, but from this I could tell it is a specialty cider made, brewed with lambic yeast. So that's all it's got going for it. It's a cider with lambic yeast. Mm. So if you're looking for a little Brett character, here's your chance.
Yeah. He said it was a cider that was pitched with the dregs of a bottle of Goiza.
Mm-hmm.
Goose.
I believe
I
believe
it. I totally believe it. It comes right through.
I think it's nice. I like it. I don't know. Is it a top three?
It has that...
there's a very, very slight smidge of
super ripe cheese finish to it.
Yeah, kind of a brothy flavor to it, yeah?
It's ripe with cheese.
I think it's interesting. I would not pick it as one of my top three. I'd be with
it. Yeah, I like it, but I don't think it's top three.
Same here. Yeah. On that basis, we would say goodbye.
I'd say goodbye to Lambic 80.
Let it go?
Yeah. Are you feeling it?
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy, you want to stand by or fight this one?
I like it, but, you know, I would like to see my family and other loved ones at home someday, you know.
It does have a slight, very slight at threshold
amount of THP in it. Like just barely, barely. So that's technically a flaw. Tetrahydropyridine. So with a lot of sour beers, Brett and other things will make that. It tastes like, when it's really present, it tastes like opening a fresh bag of Cheerios. Some people say it's like mousy, but for me it tastes like a lot like nondescript grain. And it's in the finish, so... It's pH dependent, so in something like very sour and high acidity, you won't taste it until you swallow and then kind of exhale a bit, let that acidity dissipate, and then you'll taste it like in the back of your throat. And this is, it has just a tiny little smidge. It needs probably another month in the bottle.
Is that the cheesy thing I'm talking about?
Not cheesy, that's just part of the character, I think. It's. Well,
can you give me a couple descriptors of what you're, what it is?
So if you, it tastes like grainy Cheerio sort of. So you swallow and then kind of just breathe out a bit and let your mouth kind of return back. You'll get just that little tiny bit.
Cheerios.
Fresh package.
Big G, little O. Let's go.
But that's just because it was bottled and it didn't age out enough. Another month or so and that'd be gone.
Oh, it ages out.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Brett will clean it up. But I think we should pick it because it's technically a flaw. Well, if we're on the fence about it.
Well, we know it's not going to survive the last three, so we might as
well... Yeah, I think it's out.
Yeah, we might as well keep moving ahead here.
Or a special category. It's got to be something wonderful about it.
Yeah, it has to be magical.
Yeah.
Like the ginger.
Yeah,
the
ginger.
I'm still on the ginger. Ginger has potential.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the unicorn factor. I'm ready to take it.
Yeah. We haven't talked about the fruit crab apples.
Yeah. And it's pH
61.
Mm. When you first drink it, and the more you drink it, you don't taste it. You gotta like your mouth reset. But it's just barely there.
A lot of subtle qualities, but again, are we showing off any apple character here at all? Is it too well masked by the other additions?
I'm talking about the crabs?
Yeah, well, the 61, yeah.
61B,
the Audi.
Hmm. It's kind of sweet and under-attenuated, but it's tasty in my mind.
Yeah.
To my palate.
What was the second fruit? It was Acai, and what was the other fruit?
Crab apple.
Crab apple.
But we're not even really sure if Acai is in the mix, because the label was... Typo.
It said Audi. He might have brewed it in his car.
German crab apples.
Cider character must be present and must fit with other fruits. It is a fault if the added fruit or fruits completely dominate.
I think that's the case for the ginger and the other sample we have here. Yeah. 59. You know, it's great, but the ginger just kicks the apple out of the picture.
Yeah, these two kind of have that same issue where they're good, but you don't really have that cider backbone to it anymore.
Yeah, we got to follow the category descriptors there.
You know, the ginger is delicious, but it totally takes over. You know, it's a good beverage, but it doesn't have a lot of cider quality, and I think a lot of what we're doing here is celebrating the craft and the craftsmanship.
And I think it's made it this far, and we can let it go.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's made it this far.
Yeah.
Are you still up for the ginger?
I'm saddened. you've kicked
But we all need to get home and see our family.
You've kicked Miss Maine overboard, now you're whacking her in the head with an oar.
All right, you don't have a cold like you.
All right. Really well, I'll shoot. So ginger's out.
So how many ciders are
cold,
there
cold.
We're down to the last four.
Last four.
Yeah, I guess...
Are we going to have an honorable mention, or just for a second?
We could.
Let's talk about what we like now, you know?
Will we be able to have an honorable mention? Because I think the ginger could be a candidate for that, because
we only have four left.
Yep.
So we just got to determine what the order is.
Butchered all the men, women, and children in this little...
There's no
village, and there's just smoldering heaps left.
They've been pushed over. We're moving forward.
What's left here is the Petalint New World, the Petalint Medium French, the traditional sparkling Perry, and the fruit crab apple.
Is the New World Perry out? Did we eliminate that one?
New World, yeah.
Okay.
The traditional.
You put it to death.
I know, that's a crime, but.
I don't think it's number one yet. I could be persuaded.
Because another way to handle this at this point is to pick our top three and kind of add up the points, like 3 points for first place. Mm-hmm.
See where it's going.
2 points for second.
And then we can fight it out if we have to.
Because I see what you, I mean, the French, it's really...
Yeah, I really like the French.
I think it's going to take the show, honestly. But
the French?
Yeah, I think it will.
I think it's, I think it's got that just enough of the funky French farmhouse character to...
The French and the Perry above the other two.
I concur.
I do as well.
Three people would feel that way.
Let's keep moving on this.
And that leaves the New World dry and the fruit crab apple to battle it out for
third place.
For 61, I mean, are people just kind of prejudiced against sweet ciders? I mean...
I don't think so. I think it works. Mm-hmm. And the sweetness isn't... It's not cloying. It's not... I don't know. Mm. I think the crabs balance the sweetness pretty well.
Yeah. I like it better than the New World.
Yeah, I think the New World is my least favorite of these four. Can we decide on that?
Yeah, I agree.
You have love for the New World.
I know, not really, but I, like I say, it's just I think it's well crafted, hits the style.
It is.
Yeah. Whereas the 61 is I don't know. I kind of feel like you could put this in any category, and it would be like well crafted and sweet and well balanced and good, and you know. Whereas I think the 131. Kind of like landed right in that sweet spot, right in the middle of the.
It's a better expression of the cider and the apple.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas the 61 is kind of like.
All right, you own the cider. You're barreling this. You're bottling this by the warehouse load. You gonna sell a lot of this? Do you think?
That's really not the question.
131.
That is not the question. It does not need to sell.
People want to drink this.
I don't think it's about the people. It's about us.
Yeah. It's about the few appreciators,
does it,
you know?
It tastes good, though.
I think some people really... this is good.
So are we down to 26 and 129 battling for first and second, and third and fourth being battled by 131 and 61?
I think that's right, yeah. We're all kind of agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
So let's
try to pick number three.
Let's try to pick number three, yeah.
So three is between 131 and 61?
Mm-hmm.
Number three for me is 61.
I'm 131.
I'm 61 as well.
131. Tommy O?
61.
There you go.
61's have it.
Okay.
61 has it. Now, that was, bear in mind that that was a cider that was entered in the wrong category.
No, it
was.
I'm sorry,
not the crab apples. No,
this is the crab apples. Not the
crab apples. Okay, no, that's
the crab apples
and the gin- Audi.
No, the, isn't the ginger one that got missed?
Yes, ginger one was that. No, okay.
No, that,
all right.
That
met its demise.
So the third place is?
Number 61, number 3.
Yeah.
Crabs, Audi.
So it's between the traditional Perry and the French.
Okay.
Well, isn't that interesting? Traditional Perry and the French. No new world.
There'll be plenty of things coming.
We're still looking to our European cousins for inspiration.
Thank you.
I got it. This Perry is absolutely heavenly.
It's very good.
As far as the French cider, I think at Cider Days 2 years ago, we had a tasting with French ciders, and I know there's better ones than this. You know, that intensify the character that we're experiencing here. That's more intense. It's sort of like knock your socks off character. So, with that, I'm going to endorse the traditional Perry as first.
I really like that Perry. I think I like it first as well.
One, two, three, four.
That was a big side there, Colin.
I don't know. I love it too, but sorry. I mean, I want to sing the sing the a pan to really the French. I mean, it's just.
I'll be with Colin this one. I think I like the French show better. I like the farmhouse funk in it. I like the distinctiveness
I think I like
of
the French
it.
As well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good with the Perry, but I think there seems to have been a reversal of fortune for our French cider.
The French is a little more unique, I think. The Perry is kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't push my buttons.
Perrys are difficult.
Odd number is perfect, actually.
What's that?
An odd number is perfect, actually, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unlike our U.S. Senate, right.
It's not cooler.
So are we feeling French for one?
What's the vote for first?
All in favor of French, raise your hand. It's one, two.
Or you change your mind now, are
you? I was trying to make up my mind.
Okay, O'Connor,
I was trying to. I was hoping like you guys would help me make up my mind. That's all. Because everybody's talking about how great the Perry is. Let's talk about how great the French cider is. Say some nice things about it.
I think it's got great barnyard character.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has what I expect from a French cider.
Yep.
I mean, the Perry, traditional Perry, I'm like, I don't know. It is a Perry.
Mm-hmm. The acid tannic balance, sweet balance, what do you think?
I like it. Mm-hmm. It works.
Is it too sweet compared to the acid and the tannic?
I don't think it's out of balance. I think it's...
I mean, it's not, we know it's good.
It's sweeter than the Perry, but I think it needs it because of the funk.
Yeah.
Again, the Perry was labeled as a sweet Perry, and it's not terribly sweet.
It's not overly sweet, especially for a Perry.
Yeah. It's a minor observation.
Perrys are really, really hard to come by well done. There's still, you know, the new cutting edge to stuff we're exploring. And this one is one of the best I've tasted in my life, really. As far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And I've had better French cider for sure.
Yep. Well, I think my number one is the French. Anyone else?
Perry.
French.
Perry.
Perry.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, Perry has it.
Okay.
You are the Perry?
Yeah.
Okay, so Perry, French.
Perry has it. So clearly the both ciders were excellent.
They're both very good.
Both excellent, and it's just picking nits to pull the best one.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
And the Perry comes forward on the Cider Days amateur competition. That's really actually amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, we're going to change the name to Perry Day.
The Perry Pairs are rejoicing. Yes, indeed, the Perry Pair won. And who was the maker? Well, it was none other than Claude Jacquelaire of Quebec, Canada. Yeah, the author of the new
Cider Makers Handbook won Best in Show at Cider Day's Amateur Cider Competition 2018. And there was a little bit of chatter whether or not Claude could really consider himself to be an amateur. But the delineation is, if you're not paid for it, you're not a professional. He's paid to be a writer, and that's a little bit different than being paid to be a professional cider maker. As far as I know, he's not. So a tip of the glass to Claude for doing that. First runner-up was a French cider, and that was made by William Groda of Boston, Massachusetts, and now the cider maker at New Salem Cider. You've heard me talk about New Salem Preserves quite a bit, that orchard in Franklin County. Well, William is at the helm there now making cider, so look forward to that in 2019. Then we had Mark Parentu of Blackstone, Massachusetts, and he was the maker for the Crab Apple, which was a second runner-up for the Best in Show. And honorable mention was another cider by William. It was a New World cider. He called it Wrecked Raccoon. You could find all the cider winners or the maker winners, however you want to pan that out. Either way, they are on the show notes, a link there for this here episode 160. Now, I want to just follow up. I know that this was a long Best in Show. I actually edited it out quite a bit. It was at least 45 minutes long that the judges took to go over each 11 ciders and really wean it out. And as I've been recording competitions now for the past 2 years, it seems, and listening to judges and sometimes being a judge there, I feel like we do need to increase our descriptors, get in a little bit further into the cider. And I say that at the same time knowing that once you've tasted many ciders, it's just a sense, you know, boom, it's right there. That's the right cider. I had moved those, the French and the Perry forward, including the New World Perry that was made with culinary pears, Bartlett pears, in fact. And I have to admit, I thought that was an unbelievably tasty cider. So it was unfortunate that they didn't have new bottles to open for the Best in Show, because that little bit of time can really change it. And anyone from the Basque region or Asturias would know and would, I expect, absolutely guarantee that as soon as you pour that cider, you drink it back, you get that freshness, that essence of it. So maybe, I don't know, there's another category for a cider sitting in a cup for a while over the course of a long day of judging. That can have an effect, no doubt. And the other piece that I feel is really important is that, and this is the reason why I do Totally Cider Tours, is if you're going to be judging, you have to go out in the world and taste a cider on the territory was made to really adequately judge it. That's something I have to do. I got to get to England. I got to see my friends in England, in the UK, who are making cider there, specifically Ross-on-Wye Cider and Perry Company. I got to get there to Herefordshire to see all those folks, Tom Oliver, Little Pomona, so many cideries that I want to see there in Somerset and outside of that region, Wales. Ooh, yeah, Dorset, don't you know? But, you know, one step at a time for me to actually be able to judge English ciders at the degree that I would like to be able to do that. You got to be there. You can't be an armchair judge or just getting imports. You try as you might, it's really, really different. Thankfully, I have had the opportunity and good fortune to drink a lot of Perry on site in Normandy. But I haven't had it Perry in England. Got to do that too, to really feel like I'm up to that challenge. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that. It was always informative for me to be able to sit and to listen to the judging. Oh, yeah. Mmm. Oh, yeah. Reminds me of David Brownberg, that song, Kicking It Out. He's kicking out in Memphis, and he drinks what he wants to. You know, that is what Ciderville is. We just enjoy it. Just cracked open a little bit of Calvados, because that song got me in the mood. yeah, it's 2019, folks. We are ready. Coming up in February, another thing, if you haven't been hearing, if you haven't been following along in Cider Chat, there is the New York Cider Competition on February 10th. That's put on by Adam Levy. Great guy. He is doing stuff for cider by getting it on the map, which is what it's all about. That's what we're all doing, trying to let people know, hey, this is what you want to do. You want to try cider. It is good. No, it's not going to give you a hangover unless you drink too much. You got to be careful about that, of course. In fact, before I tell you fully about that New York Cider Competition again, because I am talking about it every week, because actually they are sponsoring this podcast leading up to it, and I'm very thankful for that. It means a lot to me to be able to do that for Adam. But I wanted to say that my friend Nolan just told me, this is a guy who's, you know, he makes cocktails, he plays hockey, going out 9 o'clock every night, 3 nights a week, down at the university with his buddies. I mean, you know, hard-hitting guy. He says, Rhea, all I could drink cider now. Like, that's all I could do. Everything else just gives me a headache. So that is good news. That is what we're trying to do. And folks like Adam Levy running that competition where trade buyers are judging the cider based on category and price point, that kind of changes the scope. So if you want to do it, go to the show notes for this year, episode 161, to find the links to the New York Cider Association. There are a lot of benefits to this. You could send in a little bit more cider, and they will ship it to the Berlin, Germany competition too, for free. And if you're part of a cider association, or you're in charge of a cider association, and you want to get in as a New York Cider Association did for their members to get a reduced amount for the entry fee, you could contact Adam Levy. The links are in the show notes, or you could zap me a line, Rhea@ciderchat.com, and I will hook you up.
Happy New Year!
Jeez Louise, I thought this was going to be a short episode, and look, oh, we're a little bit further in than I had expected. So I guess you never know where the path will lead you into Ciderville, but hopefully it will always be towards the next glass of cider. Or pore. We don't want to leave those little pears out. Or in my case tonight, a bottle of Calvados. There you go. Oh boy, it's the holidays, folks. And yeah. Best of health and best wishes to you. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up.
Yeehaw!